right, Lagos, good morning. You're listening to Business Half Hour. We do this every Monday, 8 to 8:30. The guys at Naira Metrics bring you some of the most enterprising entrepreneurs in Lagos today. People doing amazing stuff, right? So if you've missed previous episodes of this show, you can always, of course, listen to it. Go to nairametrics.com/podcast and you see prior episodes, and then you can listen to any of the favorite entrepreneurs that we had on this program that you liked. For those of you in traffic, I heard Ted Milan is crazy this morning.
I can imagine.
Yeah, some people have been in traffic since like 5:30 a.m. Godspeed, guys. Take it easy. I know it's tough. It's not easy. I don't know if it's the rain or if it's just, I don't know, since this election thing started, I don't know, traffic in Lagos just went bizarre.
And apart from
like, as if last night guys just disappeared from the roads.
But the roads are bad. Look at it.
Would you say 10 million roads are bad? Like, I don't think it's that bad. Like,
but getting to 3rd mainland, it builds up. Even on the, you haven't seen how the potholes are. You need to really take it easy and you're almost falling into one.
Well, to an extent, yes, yeah. But still not the reason why you can have traffic from like 5:30 to like 8. I mean, it's just excruciating. Tough doing business in this town. Anyway, without much ado, we're here to keep you company. And so if you're listening in, just tune up your radio. We've got another exciting guest. This one is an exciting guest, I can tell you for sure, because somebody I've known for a while too. And he's just a volatile dude. All right, as usual, Lagos, we like to get the guests to introduce themselves and what they do. I know you're wearing a bow tie today for the first time in about a year. I made you do this, yeah, and I'm happy I did. So can you tell the guests who you are?
Okay, good morning. My name is Joseph Edgar. I'm so many to so many people. I'm an investment banker. I'm a small entrepreneur. And they just say I create platforms. In summary.
You create platforms in summary.
Yeah.
You look nice on bow tie, dude.
Thank
you. Remember the first time we had one meeting like that? I think it was one of these hotels in Lagos. And he was looking all dapper with just, you know, with his jacket and all. You've done so many things. Investment banking, stock brokerage.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
And this is like 20 years, isn't it?
If not more. 1996. Funny enough, my first office was just the next building after this building here.
For real?
Yeah, that's where I trained as a stockbroker. And I was, they paid me 2,700 naira a month. So I got to come to the office.
And then you were feeling so cool yourself then.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they'll count the money. But then I'll be owing one man down the road there for all their kicking friends.
That's life. Life is in stages.
Yeah, I know.
That was
1996. You know, like, you know, if you flashback, if this was like now, you probably wouldn't take that job. You probably just like, look, mom, dad, I want to go and do my own thing. I want to start my business in the garage. I want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg.
Are you sure? Don't you think that experience has helped over time?
No, it definitely has. You know, but I think what we've had now is a paradigm shift. You get, so during our own days, we're trained to be employees. You know, but now we are seeing a new generation can't wait.
Yeah,
you get to hit
the
market. Can't wait to make things happen. I think we'll get there.
And that's the truth, though. I think we were basically trained to be employees. I mean, like, because back then when you're growing up, your parents are telling you, go to school so you can get a nice job, not so that you can create something, right? Go to school so you can get a nice job, so you can be, you have a nice family, you can be responsible. So you're out of school, with another right test. Which test did they write? You're looking for a test and all that.
But the narrative has changed.
It's changed. Totally. So Joseph, man, let's talk a bit more about, you know, let's flash back to your experience as an investment bank. Today, you're an entrepreneur, isn't it? I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff.
I try to be an entrepreneur, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of stuff. Yeah. So, investment banking space over the years has changed, and the landscape has changed drastically from what it used to be before and now. So, must have taken a lot for you to leave investment banking, considering all the, you know, years of experience that you had. I think you probably left at the pinnacle, what you could say, pinnacle of your career as an employee. So what has that experience been like for you?
Let me correct something first. A lot of good things I've left, you know, because those who are within my space get to see my other part. Do you understand? Now, because of the very nature of investment banking, which is quite, we want to use more confidential, you can't begin to discuss your client's mandates in public, things like that. So people don't get to hear a lot about that on my side, you know. So I'm still in investment banking.
Yeah, you are, but you do it. So do you do it as, you know, are you now... And are you still an employee or...
No, I run my own firm. Yeah, I run my own firm called Hamilton & George. My partner, Lami, I did Kola. Yeah, so we do a little bit of investment banking there. Now, back to your question. You see, I don't know what to answer because I've not left. You understand?
Yeah.
But I just morphed.
So we're talking about your experience, when you were like an employee and how that has dovetailed into you being, you know, your own...
You see, I always tell people, I tell my children, my son, that, you see, two institutions... two institutions better mold the Nigerian. That's either you join the army or you join a financial institution.
Mm.
You get, so the discipline in those places, you can't really get anywhere else. Do you understand? So in those days, you know, you are given targets, you are given projections which you will have to meet, you know, no excuses,
KPIs,
no excuses. In fact, that MPRs used to be like a bloodbath in those days and all of that. You get, so it was fun for me, not for most people. It was fun for me because I'm a natural salesperson, you know, and that ties into that industry. Do you understand? I'm a people person. You get, I know how to never say die and all of that. So that allowed for us to rise as fast as we could within the space. I remember one year I worked in three banks, you know, so I never used to...
Wow.
Yeah, I worked in three banks. So I never used to... I used to hear no job. It never happened to me because I could sell. You know, I could talk my way into a job. Now, whether I can keep that job is something else totally, but I could talk my way into a job. So I was quite lucky to work in some of the AAA organizations. Do you get? So I've done GTB Asset, which is an investment one. I ended up with the FCMB, CSL. And the one funny thing is that...
That's where we met, though.
That's where we met, yeah. So one funny thing about CSL is that while I was in UI, I used to come to Tinubu Square to buy clothes. Do you understand? To buy those 30 naira clothes.
You get, cool.
You know? And then one day, then I think CNL just started coming. So we used to see traders. We used to see people trading on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And so that caught my interest. You know, so one of those days, I'd come from Ibadan to go and buy Okrika clothes. So I saw this gentleman in a pinstripe suit. You get, he was coming out of the car. You get, and he looked so regal. You get, and he was Otumba Shimurimba Logun. And I told him this story when I was with FCMB, and I saw small tears in his eyes. You get, so he had come to work that morning, Primrose Stars.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So I was just watching, and he walked regal into his building. Do you understand? And he walked into, and I followed him into the building. You get, and I saw the plaque on the wall. Yeah. You know, and that caught my interest. And I told myself, I said, before I die, I will work in the CSL. You know,
which he eventually did.
Which I eventually did after full circle. So when I was with FCMB, I sought orders with him and I told him this story. And he was thinking about
it. Incredible stuff. Yeah. So that experience, you really can, I mean, like you said, I think I want to agree with you though. You know, if you've worked in the financial services space, you know, and in the military, there's just something about how these guys function,
yeah,
especially for some of the new generation banks. I mean, like, the kind of, for them to have gotten to where they are today, Bukola, it's amazing strides, because they basically disrupted a century old, you know, century old institutions like banks that have been there for like years. So it's definitely not easy. So let's look into some of the, you know, the way, let's look at the financial services space today compared to what it was, you know. And when you just started, there are a lot of fintech companies coming out there now, trying to disrupt the way we do banking or the way we do investment banking. They probably started with just payment channels and a little bit of lending. You never know where these guys might get to. Are they going to get into investment banking and all of that? So for you being out of being an employee or owning your own business, how do you see these guys? I mean, are they a competition for you, or is it a new space that you are also looking at getting into?
I don't see them as competition, though. I see them as a replacement. You guys see them as a replacement. You know, because during the banking consolidation, do you understand? So what was the norm then? All these brick and mortar huge branches.
Yeah, always having branches.
And that's the problem with planning. Do you get? So we do not really, as a people, not only in business, you know, plan beyond 5 years. Yeah. You get, other serious organizations, serious nations, they do what they call scenario planning. They try to look into 50 years, 100 years, all of that. So just, man, within our lifetime, less than 20 years ago, you get, so we got mega banks with mega structures that are now warehouses. There are some buildings, some bank branches, when you go into, you just see the huge thing, there's only three people inside there. Like that, you understand? So I had a conversation with the former bank ED, who's running his own shop now. And he says, look, Edgar, I see these fintech firms replacing all of these banks in less than 5 years.
Wow,
you get? I'm telling you, less than 5 years.
That's
so
aggressive.
Yeah. So I did the write up for someone last week. You get, you know, And the figures that I'm seeing are quite humongous. You get, and guess what? The culture is helping them. You get the young millennials. Yeah, also helping them because they would really, really, really want to do everything online differently. And things like that. Mm-hmm. So this has changed the way investment banking business is done. Do you understand? And I've seen a lot of top, if you want to use the word top, bankers losing their jobs.
Mm.
Do you get? Because the narrative has changed, the market has changed. So all those come and give me money, come and give me deposit. Come and give, it's so archaic right now. So and these are people who were brought up in that era.
Mm.
So now they are a major cost to those organizations. Mm. So someone at the DGM level, at an ED level, who doesn't understand, they don't understand fintech business, who don't understand the new economy as it were, you get, it's just a heavy load on that decision and they're wheeling them out. You get
interesting stuff. So, interesting. So let's delve a little into your entrepreneurship business now. So you've been on your own now for three years now.
Three, four.
So what has that experience been like? Like somebody who's been an employee for about 20 years plus, and then you say, you know what, I'm done. Stuff, man. Everything that I've learned, I want to do. Because I know when you started, you acquired a company and all
It was a terrible experience.
What was that experience like?
You might
share it with our listeners.
It's what Americans call slam dunk. Bam. Okay. I don't know if I can say this on air.
Don't say it on air.
No. 8 months after taking up my own business, after acquiring a company, I found myself in an EFCC cell.
Wow.
You know, I have to say this. I'm going to write a book so that people can learn. I found myself in an EFCC cell.
Wow.
I'm telling you, on a Saturday night, I was in the cell and I looked at my partner. I said, my brother, what have we done? Can we go back to work? Do you understand? Because let me tell you what happens. And that's the mistake we make.
Hmm.
Is that the mistake we make? You see, I'm a strong salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a strong salesperson. I can sell. You get it? So at the peak of my salesmanship, I once earned a commission of, I don't know if I said that in public, $14 million. That was 20 years ago. So don't come after me now. It's gone. That's gone. That shows my strength. Yeah. So I was exploited in quotes, and I agreed to be exploited. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, because I could sell, I could bring in the money. All organizations that I worked for brought me in for that purpose. So I didn't have any other training in terms of risk management, in terms of legal, in terms of processing, in terms of transaction. So just go and bring the check.
I was bringing the check.
You know, and then I felt I could do it. You get, because I was looking at people I was reporting to. They don't have two heads.
Yeah,
you get, so I could form my own organization. You get, and the point is that you do not even need that capital. You get, it's just that resolve and a plan.
Yeah.
You get. So I called my partner, a young man, Lami Adekola, recently married. I said, "Bro, let's go and buy a bank." And he says, "Where do you get those ideas from?" I said, "Man, I read the story of these people who have been buying banks. So they bought banks at our age. Do you understand? They don't have the two heads. So let's go and buy a bank." So we targeted a bank. Do you get it? I said, okay, before we buy the bank, let's go and buy a small asset management firm and use that asset management firm
to go buy back.
So we successfully took a 20% stake in an asset management firm. So I became MD of the asset management firm. And my brother became DMD of the asset management firm.
And everything looked so good.
My brother, when the thing came, we resumed on a Monday. The wave started on a Wednesday. I said, what have I done? You know, because I worked with some very sweet organizations.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, I worked in a firm called BGL. It was a wonderful organization. Do you understand? So all of those buffers were there. We had a wonderful risk management team. We had a wonderful legal team. We had a wonderful processing team. So once you just bring
take decisions
check,
like that and
yes. So if there are infractions, if there are issues, all of that support system takes it. So you don't even feel it. Do you understand? But all of a sudden, I was naked. So I was one now facing the lawyers. I was one now facing the whatever it is. Do you understand? And no experience, no fallback experience. Because all I could do was sell. Do you understand? So I found myself in the
Your partner, so what was his own strength? Was he selling as well?
No, my partner is a structured investment banker, so he can structure transactions.
Okay, he can structure deals.
Do you understand?
I thought it was just that was just what you needed.
So he could structure, you could sell.
So it was a, we thought it was a wonderful partnership.
Yeah, it was good synergy.
Do you understand? Again, so it was inside the cell that night. It was one or two things. Either we went back to look for jobs, which I will not do, because in the process of my employment, I was sacked. I was in between jobs for 3 months. And then I learned something very quickly. Every job interview I went to, do you understand? The people that were interviewing me didn't understand me, didn't have my strength. Do you understand? They didn't have my strength. So you I'm brimming with energy, with ideas. All you can ask me is, okay, how much can you bring? What is your target? What target should we give you? Do you understand? Yeah, so I wasn't going to go back that route again. So you know something, let's go set up our own firm. You get design it, build it along the lines
of your strength,
of our strength, and of where we are seeing the market. So that's why our firm today, Hamilton and George, is focusing on the entertainment industry, which is huge. You get it's focusing on hospitality, which is huge. And from there, we've acquired a small boutique hotel, which just aligns with what we're trying to do. So the growth trajectory is quite massive if we farm it very well.
Interesting stuff, Joseph. I mean, like, it's important that people hear some of these experiences. Like, sometimes when you set out to do your own stuff, you probably meet
like
stumbling block, you probably fail, and then you find a way again, and blah, blah, blah. There's a whole lot of other things that you do. I think we're going to get back to that in the second half of this show.
Yeah.
Lagos, you've been listening to Joseph Edgar. Joseph Edgar is an investment banker based here in Lagos. And this is Business Alpha. Bukola, we'll be back.
Yes, we would be. You have to be careful what you do for the love of money. Make sure.
Yep. Yes, Lagos. We've been talking to Joseph Edgar, an investment banker and now an entrepreneur. He's been on his own for like 3 years after working for over 20 years. Interesting conversation so far. I really, really, really would have loved to delve into your experience. You know, EFCC. We're talking off air now. Like that thing kind of like humbles you and all that. I mean, I had similar experience in the days of, I think it was when we had a lot of field banks, 2011 and all that. Yeah. So trying to restructure loans with Amcon. Incredible experiences. These are humbling experiences that you really can't forget. Yeah. So a lot of things that you do every day, sometimes you got to be a bit careful. There's a lot of risk around. It's either somebody giving you money to invest in something, you actually don't know where that money is coming from, and then you can be called in to come and explain your own pattern. It's just a whole lot of stuff. But Joseph, let's move a bit into something other than investment banking that you do currently. I think it's interesting for people to note that you've got an incredible passion for arts. You mentioned that. So I'm actually not surprised that your investment banking, whatever, is tilted towards the entertainment industry, where I think they need a lot of businesses there that people need to package properly. Yeah. So you've gone into art a lot and you've even done shows, plays.
Yeah,
so what has that experience been like? And how did you decide, like, look, I'm going to go into art?
I can't really tell you the story why I went to theater because my wife is listening. Just called and said, I'm listening, mention my name. You know, what else got through the art? I went to UI at the time where it was golden era for theater. Mm-hmm. Because I stumbled on theater by mistake, by accident, you understand? And then I lost it. You know, up until, I think 3-4 years ago, when I got summoned to my children's school, my children attend Green Springs, you know, and they gave me the bill. So I've been paying school fees less 20,000, less 30,000 for all of those years. And all of a sudden, I was owing the school 1.2 million. And they said, Mr. Edgar, because you have three children, you get a very strong member of the PTA, we are going to allow you 30 days to pay this 1.2 million. Now, listen carefully to this story, because that's this entrepreneurship thing that we're talking about here. You know, but this, I was working with a bank, a triple A investment bank. And I know how much I was being paid. You know, bankers, like you earn your money, you spend your money up front.
So up front, before they even pay you, you spend it already.
So end of the day, they'll give me like 160,000 naira a month and all of that. You get so now I was faced with a bill of 1.2 million to pay in 30 days. 1.2 million to pay in 30 days. Oh my God. So how will a Lagos big boy, a Lagos big boy driving the latest BMW, not be able to pay his children's school fees? What more could be more shameful? They'll kick my child out of school. So as I was driving back to the island.
Well, why didn't you bring that to their notice that it was their fault? It wasn't your fault that.
Well, end of the day, no matter who's.
End of the day, you have to pay it, child. Exactly.
Yeah, but they should have.
And maybe that's why they gave me the 30-day window.
Mm-hmm.
So on my way back to the island, I will never forget that day. The epiphany hit me. Something hit me. I said, look, oh boy. My mentor, Mr. Aki Kekereko, I know he doesn't like me to mention his name in public, former MD of Abi Bank.
Okay.
You know, had said, look for a way to commercialize your talent. You understand? So you can write.
You're actually a good writer.
Yeah, thank you. You can write. You can talk. Do you get? So you just commercialize it. So that just hit me. I said, commercialize. It's okay. But this time I started writing, I've been writing my column for this day for over a year. I was getting massive feedback. I was getting top politicians calling back to say, oh, let me explain to you my position. I was like, little me, Shomolu, you know, so if big minister is calling, he's spending 30 minutes on the phone trying to explain to me his position. So I said, the pen is truly matter and the sword. So I said to myself, why don't I compile all of this book? That's the entrepreneurship we are talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Creating platforms. You get leveraging on my natural ability to sell.
Yeah.
You get on my natural ability to make people like me. You get, so why don't I compile all of these articles in a book form, do you understand? And sell it to my friends. Do you understand? He hit me. So I drove straight to Terra Culture and I met my friend, Mrs. Bolanle Austin Peters. And I said, I need to pay school fees. Help. and I told her my plan. And she gave me the first 200,000 naira that started this. As of today, we've done productions with a market value inching close to 100 million naira. From that, Bolanle's 200,000 naira.
Wow.
So from that 200,000 naira, I drove to Shomolu and I got the printer. And then we brought out all of those articles. You get, got someone to edit it. Do you understand? And we printed out 1,000 copies. Now, cinema at Siena.
I remember you forced me to buy a copy.
Yeah, you bought your copy. Everybody who knew me must buy that book. You get. So, 3,500 naira was the selling price. So, 1,000 copies, that was 3.5 million naira. Do not forget, I was looking for 1.2 million naira. So, I didn't go to work that day. Brought out my phone, opened my laptop, opened an Excel sheet and wrote the names of all my friends who could dash me 5,000 naira without thinking. I seen this thing there. Anybody that can dash 5,000 naira without thinking. So I had a long list of friends and I started working my phone. So some were buying 5 copies, some were buying 30 copies. I'll never forget, if I gave me 500,000 naira for a copy. Do you understand? You get, then I dropped some at Terra Culture, dropped some at some bookshops. Do you get? And I mean, with all due respect, that first edition is still in those bookshops. I finished selling my thing. So I not only raised money for that first time school fees, we paid for the year. You know, that's how I started, you know. And then when that school fees money finished, and now school fees bill came, we said, let's put this on stage. You know, and then we raised 12 million naira.
I remember that your first stage.
That first stage, yeah. Alibaba was the first person. That's what also meant.
So let's talk a little bit about stage plays and all. Like, so for you now, is it like, it's like a side business now or one of those?
No, it's my real side business. Okay. That is what is putting food on the table.
Are you kidding me right now?
Because you see, as an investment banker, I understand structuring.
Understand,
I know how to sell benefits. That's the problem in Nigeria. Nigerians, we don't know how to sell benefits.
But the people really like plays. I mean, is this command? The
people
pay for tickets.
People love plays. I tell you, let me tell you something. My friend, Bonale Austin Peters, my sister, you get, she did her play, her first play, Saru. My daughter was in that play. I think, the second one wasn't Saru. The second one, I can't seem to remember. At the Muson, you get, 5 days. 5 days prior to Christmas Day. I think it was 2-3 shows a day. filled to the brim. There was a secondary market for it. People were selling scalping tickets outside. So I stood outside and I looked at this thing. I said, see money. So people were looking at, oh my God, that play was, oh my God.
But you were looking at, oh my God, see the money rolling in.
I must do this thing. So I went to ask him, madam, how do you do it? You see, the beautiful thing about this theater for me is that I don't need to know how to act. Not interested. Mm. I don't need to know how to write a script. Not interested. But I'm an entrepreneur, a producer. So I bring all of it together. Do you understand? So we raised 12 million for that first play. And Alibaba fronted it for us. You get it. And then ever since then, it's like it was massive. The one we did it was massive. About 12,000 people came to see it.
So is this like, so this is something that you're going to be running now?
If I'm from next year,
but doesn't it, is it, has it been all that rosy? Come on, man. It's not been that easy.
No,
so
it's not
what, I mean, what are the challenges that you had? Because people are listening to you and are like, I'm a miss if I go to play. I'm going to start my own play and all that. I mean, has it been that easy?
It's not been that easy. We first tried to do a production long before the pressure and all of that, the school fees pressure. And then I was just looking for, I think I was looking for 400,000 naira. Because then to use there, then was 100,000 naira. I couldn't find. I walk out this Lagos, walk up and die everywhere. Nobody agreed to give me 400,000 naira.
Only.
I'm telling you, I was weak. So it's not that easy. But then again, now you see, challenges I'm facing here right now is you walk up to somebody who is facing tremendous problem in his own business. Whether LI is chasing for tax, he can't pay salaries, all of that. And then I go and meet that person and say, please come and sponsor. He will just throw your script, trash it down. Do you understand? Okay. So you see,
so how do you then get funding? Is it through banks or is it through friends or what? How do you package funding?
How you get funding is very simple. Very simple. And I will say it there. Very simple. You see, sell value. Sell benefits. Do you understand? So a firm who has just launched a mobile app that is not popular, do you get? That firm is looking at other people's firm who are downloading. Nobody's downloading my own. So I go to him and I say, simple, my brother, I'm going to design a social media campaign that will hit 30 million people just because I turn his head. Do you understand? I'm going to be on Classic FM 6 times daily for 3 weeks. You get? And then I'm going to get
Bukola,
you get, on air to teach people how to download your on the back of my production. And then I'm going to make sure that Isaloko was about 170 people. Everybody on that production, we download
that stuff.
Are you seeing now? And then we'll write you the, so he's seeing value. He's seeing,
so like a win-win kind of relationship.
He's seeing benefits. So okay, my brother, how much did this cost me? And then this is a killer now. Listen carefully now. This is a killer. I will not ask you for 10 million naira. That is a long story. Because most MDs can't even sign off 10 million naira. I'll ask for 5 million naira. Do you get? So give me 500K and get the benefits of 10, 20 million naira. So with that 500K, guess what? I will have over 50 corporate sponsors. Call of them can, the smallest HOD will sign 500,000.
Yeah.
So we have 38 corporate sponsors. 38. So what does that
mean? So where do they get all the space? Wouldn't they be crowded out?
No. You see, there's enough space for everybody to play. Yeah, there's enough space for everybody to play. We had 2 or 3 insurance companies last time. One insurance company said, okay, know something, because of this thing I'm talking about, we buy a whole show. Buy a whole show for 8 million now, only for our customers as a reward for them. Are you understanding me now?
Interesting stuff, Lagos. Interesting stuff. We've had Joseph Edgar on the show. Obviously, it looks like we're going to have a part two of this. Joseph has so many nuggets. I mean, that's what you get when you've been in this game for over 20 years. I mean, there's just so much experience, man. Joseph, I know. Like, I can imagine me sitting on the other side and relating my own experiences as well. Like, it's probably incredible. Bukola, so Lagos, if you've missed this show, it's been thoroughly fun. You want to listen to it again, of course, visit our website, www.niametrics.com/podcast, and you can listen to this episode again. Joseph has dropped some incredible nuggets. We're probably going to get him back.
I think so.
Yeah.
He's depends on your schedule.
You're a busy man these days, so we don't know. We just figured out what the schedule is.
So you get every opportunity to sell it. So I'll come back.
So we're going to figure out the show. All right, Lagos, so you got that. Bukola.
And that's it. Thank you very much. He didn't drop his mantra.
Oh, yeah, we always have a mantra, like a nugget. So what is that? Like a watchword or a quote, something that guides you.
Okay,
I'm sure you have.
I have one. When I wanted to be president of my secondary school alumni, Kumar Secondary School, I failed. They didn't vote for me. But the mantra was, If you can think it, you can do it. If you can think it, you can do it.
That's good. Okay. Very simple and straightforward.
But it's working for you now. All right, Lagos, you got it. If you can think it,
you can do it. Right. And that's it on Business of Art this morning.